DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay then, everyone, good morning. Sorry I did that back the wrong way around. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity, of course, to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, ironically, in these markets, we actually have a bit of a coherent risk on market condition, which is something that we've not said for a little while. We've kind of been dealing with kind of mixed market dynamics, mixed signals in areas, and we exist in a mixed market dynamic when you get moves like the indices going up and the dollar going up at the same time, or the indices coming down and the dollar coming down at the same time. Whereas what we would regard as a risk on or risk off market dynamic is when one is up, one is down. So you have that, and they have alternating impacts on one another as well. You see capital flows generally come from one to the other. So at the minute, as of course of yesterday, we've had the industry markets rallying pretty much across the board. Not big moves, but certainly moving higher. But you also have weakness in the dollar. So you have the indices going up and you have the dollar coming down. And we're positioning ourselves more in the dollar. We kind of like the dollar trade a little bit more. Yesterday, we took a small trade in the S&P 500 which to the downside, which is ultimately reversed because we had these sort of mixed market dynamics. So actually, we've got a little bit of clarity, but we're in a couple of good trades in the euro dollar and the pound dollar. So let's have a look at those in a little bit more detail. And we can add something like US oil is potentially setting up quite nicely as well. Maybe an opportunity to buy gold. So, and of course you could now look at maybe a buying opportunity in the indices. Just a little bit on the concern side when it comes to the indices in terms of we'll probably get some grinding moves higher. We might get a little bit of volatility, but we probably have some decent opportunities in perhaps the euro and the pound, which we're actually already in. So we'll see if we can exploit those opportunities and maybe add something like gold and oil. But let's have a little look. Okay, so please see our risk warning currently up on screen. So good morning, everyone. Welcome. Hope you're all keeping well. Good to have you with us as always. Now, all profitable traders, they need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So we've got sort of a very specific focus on certain markets at certain times. That's really important. Not just to know what to trade, but why are we trading the dollar? What are the reasons for this dollar weakness trade, because there is a few, and if you're mindful of that, you can trade with a little bit more confidence. Okay, so where do we then enter and exit these markets? We like a lot of breakout trades, a lot of pullback trades. We like those sorts of opportunities around support and resistance. How do we manage risk? We're generally trading smaller risk at the moment. It's summer market conditions, so they could be a bit erratic, be a bit volatile. But we'll keep that risk conservative. We might revert back to perhaps normal trade size, perhaps in September when the markets are back to full tilt. And how to manage each trade as well. So, of course, what we want to try and do is mitigate risk on our trades as quickly as we can. So that's just removing the monetary exposure and then, you know, try to maximize the upside. And the last one there is trade psychology. So, you know, no matter what happens, keep your feet on the ground and, you know, make decisions for the right reasons based on analysis. And you can navigate these markets hopefully quite nicely. So look, we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. Okay, so that's just a long-winded intro there. So let's start with a review of potential market moving news, and we'll get into the interesting stuff. So yesterday, nothing of any major interest. It's just quite interesting to get crude oil inventories coming in significantly negative, which is more likely to have a bit more of a supportive impact on crude oil prices. And as we saw an initial rally and then a rollover to the downside. So market forces are suggesting that perhaps there's this oversupply in the markets, which would be worth selling if we could, but technically below that $65 level, which is where we're currently at now. And we had a 10-year bond auction. There's some strange things going on in treasury markets, but we've got yields lowering from 4.36 down to 4.26. And there is a slight reduction in demand for 10-year government bonds. At the moment, nothing to really sort of panic about to any great extent. Certainly, I've seen nothing about it in the headlines because the rates are coming down. But we've got a demand of 2.4. So the last time we were here was August 2024. So a couple of times last year, we did sort of see a bit of a reduction in demand. Now, nothing too strenuous, but worth keeping an eye out on these bond auctions. Okay, so New Zealand expectations, inflation expectations quarter on quarter coming in pretty much in line with previous numbers, looking slightly elevated as it was beginning of the year. These are quarterly numbers, sorry. So last year was looking quite weak. This year now, we're certainly seeing elevated inflation with the tariff dynamic playing out the way that it is. We can only really see these inflation numbers begin to tick up over the next 6-12 months. So let's see how all this plays out. You compare and contrast the 30-year bond auction for Japan. Have to pay higher rates. The rate at which investors are willing to commit to 30-year Japanese bonds is increasing. This is the highest number we've had, 309. Yeah, for a long, long time. And the demand is slightly decreasing. So the more that this yield goes up, the more demand there may be, but there's other more attractive opportunities in the global bond market space. What else is there? So today really is all about the Bank of England. So we're going to get potentially a rate cut. The market's pricing in a bit of a rate cut. Most 8 out of 9 expect to cut rates. So if we get that vote, we'll be back at 4%. I don't think that the BOE will cut any more than 25 basis points, but let's kind of wait and see. We're obviously in the pound dollar, and if you cut rates, it's negative for the currency. If you increase rates, it's positive for the currency. So this is something that could be a little bit negative for the pound and a bit bearish for the pound dollar. So if we get another nice leg to the upside prior to it, we might book in profit before that event. We'll see if we can sort of hit some sort of reasonable profit target in the trade. And then we'll be hearing from Governor Bailey as well at 12:30. So we'll be broadcasting a little bit during that. Unemployment claims in the US, still pretty strong. Anything around 220 is really strong unemployment numbers. And I suppose what we're waiting for when it comes to unemployment claims in the US is just a large uptick at some point. Will these numbers sort of get up to 260, 270, 280. It seems like we're a long way away from that currently as things stand. US 30-year bond auction. You can get much higher yield in the US, and we'll see what the demand is for that longer term duration. You'll be hearing from good old Donald Trump again. You might have seen overnight the Tim Cook, Apple CEO, or Tim Apple, as Trump used to call him, present what looked to be some sort of, not quite too sure exactly what it was, because he was standing in front of it as he was talking about it, but some sort of gift to Donald Trump. So big sick corporate CEOs seem to go to the Oval Office, present some gifts, which Donald Trump's very, very pleased with, make commitments to spend a load of money, some of which was already penciled in to be spent, and Trump could put it together. And now, from their perspective, they're likely to see commitments somewhere in the region of about $17 trillion, according to Donald Trump. Now, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how much of that has actually materialized in the coming years. Very interesting. And bringing back production, I'm not sure what that means for the iPhone. We understand that if you bring the manufacturing with there's no supply chain set up, that might take years to accomplish. And if you manufacture in the US, you're looking at a very, very expensive iPhone, where prices are likely to absolutely go through the roof to be able to purchase an iPhone in the US. So not too sure how Apple intend on squaring that circle. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. We're really, interested in the economic sort of analysis around that particular event. It's quite important. Obviously, one of the biggest countries in the world, the Apple share price has taken a bit of a hit. Clearly wanting to pave the way, use some of their cash to actually, appease Donald Trump, inject it into the US to probably get some sort of concessions somewhere along the line. And he certainly went overboard yesterday, overnight. Very, very interesting. And we get a little bit of analysis on that as well this morning. Okay, so, and then tomorrow there's nothing of any major interest. So really, as far as markets and scheduled news is concerned, we've really got the Bank of England around noon today. So fundamentally, we just have things just ticking along, nothing overly exciting. What we are getting now is that positive rally continuing in terms of dollar weakness. So not hugely about strength in the euro, strength in the pound, or strength in gold. It seems to be more of a reaction to to the US dollar. So the dollar seems to be in a weakening phase. Now, maybe that's structurally quite important for these tariffs. Try and offset the downside, weakening the dollar, stimulating US exports while bringing in lots of money into the country by putting these tariffs on US imports. So yeah, it still remains to be seen what the economic fallout is just likely to be around this whole discussion. So just want to perhaps get our technical, again, we can continue to see out these opportunities with the markets that we're looking at currently up on screen. Okay, so good morning, Dustin. I hope you're well. If I missed the entry on the euro dollar, should I cancel the trade? You're in the pound dollar. If you missed the entry on the euro dollar, should I cancel the trade? Maybe you could just explain a little bit more. So you missed the entry, so you're not in the euro dollar. Do you mean should you not get into it now? You missed the entry. Yeah. So should you not get into it now? Look, it's never as that's a little bit of a difficult one because we're significantly away, further away from our entry price. But let's have a quick look. So we do expect these prices to rally up to 117. What is it? 117.80. So we expect further upside. And unfortunately, we're probably halfway through the move at this point. So it's a bit of a difficult one. But let's have a quick look, see if there's a... Yeah, look. We're going to be mitigating risk on this today anyway. But if we took these lows, it does appear that there'd be actually an opportunity. If you get in now at the 16.70, you could have a stop loss at the 16.44. So you're looking at a 28 pip stop loss. So look, yes, to answer your question, there is an opportunity to get into it. You're just getting into it at a much higher. So this was the last time we kind of drifted sideways and then we rallied. I think we got in, you know, a few pips later than what we wanted to, but generally the area that we wanted to get in. And now we've rallied to the upside and we've just been sideways. So yeah, there is an opportunity to get this little breakout literally at these prices currently. Now the potential probability of, you've still got probably sort of 60, 70 pip upside in the trade. So if you risk, let's say 30 pips, you've still got a 2-to-1. Just bear in mind that the risk profile of the trade is now different. So yes, the opportunity is there. It's just a lot higher than our entry. Would we be getting into it with this? I suppose we're just hesitant to, because we quite like the technical setup around this entry price, because it was a sideways moving market that just broke out to the upside. So we want to buy and sell around support and resistance. And at the minute, we've got yesterday's highs, which is probably the closest thing we have to resistance, but you'd certainly expect a little bit more upside, and you can use today's daily low. It's just it's a different profile of trade. And we're certainly looking for these prices to edge up into these highs up here. So yes, with caution, really, I guess, is the response I'm looking for. Pound, dollar. Yeah, it's a similar boat. Unfortunately, it was a breakout of these resistance levels at these lows. We've rallied. We're now above the 100 daily period moving average. We're at these strong resistance levels, but we're going to see if we can get just another relatively small leg to the upside, and then we'll see if we can book in a bit of profit on the trade. These are trades where we want to let these winners run. So as long as we're making higher highs and higher lows, we can potentially stick with it. Elsewhere across the dollar pairs, I might just do a quick review. We're talking about dollar weakness pretty much across the board. So you can add, you could potentially add any of these trades. The dollar CAD looking weaker, the Aussie dollar. So the trade is around a weaker US dollar. So that's intact. The yen might start selling off at slightly higher prices. Got a bit of a stronger yen against the dollar. And potentially there's a little bit of a buy trade here. If we have a look at this on the hourly time frame, so this is an interesting move, pretty close to breaking these highs. So the 33.90. So you're looking at maybe a $25 stop loss, which is it's a bit too much. This is the other one that we're looking at. Yesterday we had a strong move to the downside. We quite like the $65 level. We've rolled over off the back of that US crude oil inventory number coming in, 3 million barrels. less than what was expected, a negative 3 million barrel number. And we sold off aggressively, pulled back into resistance, and now we're going to see is there an opportunity to start selling again. So we might focus a little bit more on US oil. And then these indices, they're just continuing to grind higher. So we're on the wrong side for those trades yesterday. Just quite impressive price action to continue to get capital continuing to pile into these markets, irrespective of the negativity that we saw last week with a very hawkish Fed and a Jerome Powell, which didn't seem to know what the unemployment numbers were likely to be on Friday. And they came out shockingly weak, which I don't think Jerome Powell was informed on those. It just makes his statement a little bit strange, because we often anticipate that they're kind of briefed on potential revisions and things like that coming down the tracks. I suppose occasionally they're not briefed. So it's hard to really know what goes on behind closed doors. Right, great stuff. Yeah, listen, my pleasure, Dustin. No worries at all. So look, what we're going to do is we're just going to edit our trade plan. We'll post it into the chat box and we'll let you go. Nothing too... So we got mild risk on summer market conditions. That's pretty much describes it. So yes, we get some grinding moves. So it's risk on in the sense that it's indices up, dollar down. I'll tell you what we'll do. Our focus is a little bit more around the dollar. We prefer that trade. US oil, looking to sell below $65. That still remains intact. And there's probably a buy trade in gold as well. We can include that in our analysis around a weaker dollar. And we want to keep all options open. That should remain intact. Just being mentally a little bit flexible really helps. But look, we can certainly stick with that weaker dollar narrative. So look, we won't overcomplicate things. The weaker yen at a time like this with indices rallying, probably not the best, most coherent trade. So let's stick with a little bit more coherent opportunities as we look at these markets. All right, so listen, good morning, everyone. That's our trade plan, mild risk on summer markets. We've got a weaker dollar, which we're already in, and we'll hopefully see if we can maximize returns on that. We've just got US indices continuing to grind higher at this stage, and we're comfortable selling US crude oil below $65. So look, that's our trade plan. Let's see how we get on. So we've got, we refer to it as a bit of a risk on, because if you look at the left-hand side here, we've got indices grinding higher, not explosive, but we do have a weaker dollar and weaker US bond yields. And we're going to see if there's an opportunity to buy something like gold as well. So, you know, these things are fitting together right now, like a jigsaw. Reasons for that, positivity around Donald Trump and his tariffs and all of that malarkey. There's positive AI tech rally and good, strong corporate earnings pretty much across the board. So there's elements of positive economic data. There's obviously some weakness in there as well. And there's an expectation, you could broadly expect the market is now expecting the Fed to cut rates three times this year, September, October and December. So it gives us reasons to support the risk on trade, which is really why it's in our summary. All right, so look, as long as this market condition sticks together, we're quite happy to stick with the dollar trades for now, short term. And we'll see if we can maximize returns on those. Right, great stuff. On that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us, as always. We'll be back again tomorrow. Just to let you know, we're actually taking our summer break as well from next week onwards. till the end of the month. So we've got a nice little break coming, which is really, really useful. Those of you that have been sort of committed and, you know, take a break as well. It's worth, you know, we are trading market conditions that are low volume, often erratic kind of volatility. We were certainly advocates of taking a bit of a break as well, for everybody. And come back in September, nice and fresh. We look at these markets with a fresh pair of eyes and we'll be able to go again till year end. So on that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow, of course, and we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Bye for now.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals, only at Smoothie King.